wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Have one to obey the gospel this morning, Brother Fugate, and one to be restored, Sister Sheila. We're so thankful to God for giving both of them time to get their lives in order. History. Man whose origin was creepypasta. His occupation was moving from house to house, killing the people that he lived with. Skills, armed and unarmed combat, great speed, high pain tolerance, strength. His hobbies? Murdering people to satisfy his bloodthirst. His goals? Ending as much life as possible. Killed his parents and his brother. He was seeking to revenge on the local bullies. What type of person was this? Serial killer. I want you to understand this morning that there is nothing but nothing that God cannot fix. Can God really forgive me? It's a question that many people ponder in their minds. And the reason that they ponder such a thing is because of the life in which they have lived. A man by the name of Jeffrey Dahmer, a man that was sentenced to death, a man that someone took the time to teach and preach Jesus unto him, a man that did not get electrocuted in the electric chair, but a man that decided to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was baptized for the remission of his sins, and then later on killed by one of his own soulmates or inmates, cellmates. I believe that we need to understand that our lives sometimes do not even compare to this man's life. Our lives do not even compare to the life of Saul, one that went in and drug people out of their homes and cast them into prisons and even stood by while they were being put to death. One that decided that he too would obey the gospel. Now I want to ask you that are with us on this morning that have not surrendered your life in obedience unto God, being immersed in the water of the baptism, how many of you have murdered anyone? How many of you? I want you to know this, that murder is not the greatest sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 21 that not only murderers, but it goes down and it lists even to liars. Those individuals will have their part in the lake which burns with fire. Revelation chapter 21 in the verses 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexual immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Can God really forgive me? To even ask a question like this, we sometimes, or people sometimes, forget who God is. God is the creator of heavens and earth. God is the creator of man. God is the creator of everything we see. God is the creator. Now ask yourself and answer it for yourself, can God really forgive me? He has forgiven many of us. Not only has he forgiven us, but he constantly forgives us, continually forgives us for sins that we commit. Only when we ask. Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Was God willing to listen to his son? Yes. He allowed him to stay on that cross. He allowed him to continue to die. He allowed him to be buried. He allowed him to stay there 3 days and three nights. And when he rose out to ascend into heaven to sit up on the right hand of the Father, Peter preached the first gospel message on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Now, that petition, that request would be granted. For those men that were there on that day heard Peter preach, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God had made him both Lord and Christ. Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what these men are doing? They were seeking forgiveness. You crucified Jesus, the Son of God. What could be any worse? What could be any worse? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What can be worse than crucifying Jesus? It wasn't what Jeffrey Dahmer did. It wasn't what Saul did. These people crucified Jesus. But God forgave those that were willing to ask for forgiveness. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 souls. It's a lot of souls. We will have had two souls today to get their lives right. It does not compare to that number, but two souls is good. Two souls is a good number. Two is always better than one, and one is always better than zero. We have something to rejoice about today. Can God really forgive me? Can God really forgive me? God could never forgive me. This is the thought of men. I've done some awful things. Can you list some awful things that you've done? That you thought that God could not forgive you? Or I've talked back to my mom. I've cheated on my husband. I've cheated on my wife. Those things can be forgiven. Why? Because we serve a loving God, a just God, a long-suffering God, a patient God. That's the type of God we serve. We can be forgiven. How many times do you think that has passed through the minds of mankind? How many times have you yourself thought of that very thing? I've done something so awful. I can't go home. No, we do awful things and we don't go home. That's what it all boils down to. We refuse to come to God and ask God to forgive us. We refuse to go to someone and ask them to forgive us because we have sinned against them. The prodigal son. The prodigal son, as Brother Antonio was preaching, and I love the way he seen it, you know, said it. You know, this individual came to himself. He came to himself. I believe, or he found himself. I believe today that we need to understand when we are outside the fold, that we need to understand that we need to come to ourselves, we need to find ourselves, and we need to understand that we have sinned before God. It is not an awful thing that God cannot forgive. God is willing to forgive us. What we must be willing to do is to realize that God does not change. He will not change. Bread enough and to spare. We find, as we look at and talk about, God has never been stingy with his blessings. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. When the children of Israel were away, God did something for them. He fed them in the book of Exodus chapter 16, verse 35. He fed Israel manna in abundance. Abundance. The widow who spared a meal with Elijah, or shared a meal with Elijah, was richly blessed. In 1 Kings chapter 17, she was blessed, richly blessed. How many blessings have we received on this day? Oh, we woke up this morning. Were we thankful? We had, you know, water to wash ourselves. Are we thankful? We had clothes to put on our backs. Were we thankful? Are we thankful we had food to eat? Are we thankful for those things? Blessings that we did not have to have, but God saw fit that we did have these things. Are we willing to stop and give him thanks for it? You know, people that we have been talking to about the gospel for a long time, some have not obeyed. But yet God has blessed them to see a brand new day. A day that was not promised to them, but yet God allowed them to see it. How are we going to repay him? How are we going to repay him? Well, first off, let's not even think about trying to repay him, because there's no way we can. But how are you going to accept what the blessing that he has given us? The sun is shining bright right now. It may be storming later on, but right now, the sun is shining bright right now. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for it? You know, we have in this building, we have something that's called AC, and then we have something that's called heat. Are we thankful for that? Something's like, I don't need the AC. All I need is the heat. But I believe we need to be thankful for the things that we have, for the many blessings that God has given us. Bread enough and to spare. Jesus fed the 5,000 in the book of Matthew chapter 14. And guess what? They had some to spare. And then we find in Matthew chapter 15, he fed 4,000 with some to spare. What do you have to spare? When you go and you feed a lot of people, what do you have left over? Oh, sometimes you have nothing. But with God, you always have an overabundance of blessings, because he's God. He never wants his children to lack anything. So we need to be able today to just say thank you unto God, because he is God. When we think of man and the many sins he is guilty of, we can hardly understand how a single sinner can be saved. We can hardly understand, because we're not God. God made us. God can destroy us. But yet he says, if you will repent, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance, that's all he's asking, repentance. In the Old Testament, he wanted the men just to turn from their evil ways. Do what's right. The scripture we read there in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But iniquities, Isaiah says, have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. How would God hear our prayer? How will God hear the things in which we're requesting from him? Is that we repent. That we turn away from those things. It's very simple. It's not a hard task. You've probably driven down a one-way road and you say, I am going the wrong way. A one-way road going the wrong way. You say, I need to turn around. I've done a three-point turn trying to get back in the right direction. I'm wondering, why are people blowing at me? Have they lost their mind? I'm in the right lane. Going the wrong way. We need to turn around. And we are our God. When we think of God and see the greatness of his love, we have a hard time understanding how anyone could turn from God and be lost. Have you ever thought of that? He's so good to us. He gave us loving parents. He gave us loving children. He gave us some great friends. He gives us good jobs. How can anyone not turn to him and say, thank you, God? How can anyone know what God has done and stay away from him? It's done every day. We'll continue to do it. Why?
Because they refuse to accept what God has to offer. They refuse to acknowledge him as God, as you can go and read in the book of Romans chapter 1. Those individuals that were exchanging the things that were natural to the things that were unnatural, they refused. They knew who God was. They knew how God felt about sin, but yet they did not want to retain him in their knowledge, in their minds. They did not want to. So ask yourself, how can someone understanding who God is and still turn away from him? Romans chapter 8 in the verse is 32. Romans chapter 8 in the verse is 32. Spared not his own son. Did not spare his own son. Now this is something to think about. But gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? If you're willing to give up your son, which God did, don't you think that he will give you anything for giving his son up for you and I? He committed no sin, but yet he said, I am going to give him up for you so that you may be able to live. He sent his son in order to seek and to save those that were lost. He sent his son in order to save his people from their sins. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 and Luke chapter 19 verse 10. God sent him to do that, and Jesus was willing to do it. To go to the cross in order for you and I to be able to live. What do we do with it? Psalm chapter 84 verse 11. Psalm chapter 84 and the verse is 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. For those who walk uprightly, for those that are doing what he wants them to do, he will withhold nothing. I want you to think about that, though, because we pray to God, and as we pray to him, sometimes we do not get what we want. You know what God sometimes does for us? He withholds things that he knows that we really can't handle. You're praying for $1 million. A lot of us couldn't handle $1 million. You may be able to, but a lot of us cannot handle $1 million. So God withholds that from you. Go out there and you can get a little bit here and a little bit there. But the Bible tells us exactly how God wants to live. He wants us to live upright. He wants us to walk according to his purpose. He wants us to do the things that are pleasing unto him. How about you today? Do you really understand how your sins been too shocking and too frequent? Hey, have you, decided, I'm going to go out here and I'm just going to do something and no one's going to believe that I did it. And I'm not just going to do it one time, but I'm going to be doing it two times. It feels so good. I think I'd do it three. You know what? I think this will be my lifestyle from now on. You know, he was a good man. Oh, when he was growing up, he was the best child that anyone could ever have, any mother or father could ever ask for. How did he ever turn out to be so wrong? To be so bad? The jailhouse is the place where he needs to be. But Jeffrey Dahmer was there. Maybe that is the place he needs to be in order for someone to teach him about God. They have his undivided attention. Now he has nowhere to go. Only a cell. Only a cell. Who took the time to teach you about God? When you too thought that your sins were too shocking and too frequent, who took the time to pull you aside and say, sit down with me and let's go through God's word? See, we need to take the time to go through God's word with some people so that they may understand that God can save them. Is your case a difficult one when it comes to your sins? Oh, you have never done anything like I've done before and probably never want to do it either. But guess what? You have never done anything like I've done before. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. The chiefest of sinners. Paul thought he had done so much, yet Paul or Saul was still saved. You too can be saved. by obeying the gospel, by doing the things that God would have you to do. God made you. The Bible teaches us in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And guess what? He can mind can be reprogrammed. Oh, I've done this so long, there's nothing I can do to change. We got some people in here that obeyed the gospel at a very late age in their life. Obeyed the gospel. Never thinking about, you know, I'm living the wrong way. Never thought about, mom and dad were so wrong in the things they taught me. My grandma, she was wrong in the things that she taught me. Never thought about those things. But then when they were taught right, they began to think about them. And some would say, there's no way that that could be true. My grandma could never be wrong. Mama could never be wrong. Daddy could never be wrong. There's no way that I am going to submit to what you're teaching. Although you're showing it to me, I'm not going to submit to that because mom and dad, there's no way that they can go to hell. No way. Yes, there is a way. And it's because they did not follow the way. They did it someone else's way. And I believe today that as we think about this and think about God remaking us, that is very simple, the things in which we need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, the Bible says. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Well, what do you have in your life that you need to get rid of? And what's stopping you from getting rid of it? What are you doing that is so bad that you cannot say, you know, God, I understand, you know, what your word says. I understand that these things are just not right. And I understand that I need to do something in order to get them right. What is so bad that you just have to keep doing it? That you think that God cannot forgive you for? What is so bad? Those of us that have obeyed the gospel, what sins did we commit? What sin at one point in our life that we said, you know, I'm not going to make it to see tomorrow because I understand the life I'm living. I know I need to make a change, but I don't think I'm going to make it to see tomorrow. You ever talked to someone that had gotten themselves in a situation and you tried to give them instruction how to get out of it, and they say, I just can't do it. If I decide to leave this lifestyle in which I'm living, there's going to be some repercussions. There are going to be some penalties that I'm going to have to pay if I leave this type of lifestyle, which is a lifestyle of sin. If you stay in that lifestyle, you're going to die the ultimate death. Not the first death, but the second death, which will be cause you to be cast into the lake which burns with fire. Do you want that? If not, you need to change. It's so simple. It is so simple. He can cleanse you. He's our God. He has the power to save. Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 1 in the verses 16, as Paul was preaching there or writing to the church of Rome, Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He has the power to save. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. The scripture reference that we read again. You know, let's go and read it one more time. I believe that we need to understand what the scripture says here about our God. He's a powerful God. He's an all-knowing God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He has the power to save. If you had the power to do something and someone asked you to do it, would you not do it? I believe many of us have jumped to the request of doing something for someone if we had the power to do it. The things that are in our control, we're willing to do those. Sometimes it's so that, you know, we can boast. Sometimes it's that someone else can brag on us. And sometimes we do it because we know that it is right to do. God knows that it is right to save those that believe. Those that are willing to be obedient, God knows that it's right to save them, so therefore he saves them. He's God. He's already laid it out for us. All we have to do is go that way. The path is straight. The instructions has been given. All we need to do is follow it. Pick it up and follow it. It's nothing like ordering a McNally's map or going and buy one of those big road atlases and have it in your car and you're riding around lost. There's no reason for it. Just like there's no reason for anyone to be sitting here on this day to be lost, because we have instruction right here. Amen. This is the way. Don't wait till all this fails. Brother Robert and Brother Pack and Brother Shelton, Brother Robert gave me an antenna. And that antenna had a whole lot of pieces, a whole lot of screws. Brother Robert said, you're not going to get that thing together. It took me about 2 hours to put that thing together, but you know what? It's still not complete yet. Why? Because I have not put one screw in it. Not one screw. They're so small, I have not put one screw in it, but it's together. Is it really? The answer is no, it's not. A good wind comes, it's just going to blow the thing apart because it has no screws in it. Our God has given us instruction, and just by picking it up and reading it, it is not going to help us. We have to apply His word to our lives. We have to do exactly what it says in order for us to be pleasing unto Him. Now, the difference between His word and that thing that He gave me, here's the instructions here. That thing had no instructions. I had to figure it out. Still not figured out yet, because it's still not together, because it has no screws. What are you going to do with God's word? How about you? If you have never obeyed the gospel, God can save you. If you will repent and obey His commandments, it's just that simple. Well, what does the scripture say? Jesus told His disciples in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Simple as that. Well, what if I don't believe? Or what if I don't get baptized? Well, the Bible tells, we already read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, to the unbeliever, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be cast into the lake which burns with fire. This is not man saying. This is what God said. So we need to follow what God says. Well, let's think about it. Let's continue to think. What must I do? The Bible says, the slide says right here, to do what? Repent. What did the Bible say? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent. Simple, isn't it? Obey His commandments. Jesus said, you know, there's a lot of people right now, "Oh, I love Jesus." Have you ever been baptized before? No. You don't love Him. You don't love Him. His command was to do what? Be baptized. Believe and be baptized in order for you to receive salvation. Simple. Simple as that. What you going to do? Those that have obeyed the gospel, but yet somewhere down the line have strayed away. What are you going to do? It is not just, you know, I'm a Christian and everything is going to be all right. No, sometimes we fall short. When we fall short, we don't need to stay down. We need to get up. I was walking down some slippery steps the other day and I fell. And Anita was looking at me. She looked at me from behind. She said, "There's no dirt or anything on behind." I fell pretty. What does that mean? It means simply this. A lot of times we do things and we think that no one sees it. If there's somebody somewhere watching. My son was there, and he was watching me, and he was rushed over to my aid. "Are you hurt?" Like I said, I felt pretty, and all I did was gave my hand, help me up. What we need to do today, when we find someone to think that they'll... Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, verse 1 tells us what? "Ye which are..." When you find a man in a fault, a brother in a fault, "ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, lest ye also be tempted." Is there anything too bad in your life, so awful in your life, that God will not forgive? Can He forgive us? Yes, He can. If you're here on this morning, your life is not what it needs to be, we're asking you, we're pleading with you to change. We're asking you, we're pleading with you to obey the gospel. We're asking you, we're pleading with you, we're begging you to be faithful until the very end. We still have several people that are on the withdrawal list. hoping that someone would have came back today, as Sister Sheila did, as Brother Stefan did on last week, that they just have, I guess, decided in their minds that it is not time right now for me to come back to the fold. I want them to think about it, and I want you to think about it, and I want you to stress the importance to them, God's word. Tomorrow is not promised to us. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. Oh, I can do it tomorrow. Oh, well, what about next week? I'm trying to work on some things. And by the way, let me answer this question that someone put in the box while we're talking about this. Do I have to get my life right before I give it to Christ? No way possible that you can get your life right without Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Brother Mark, get that verse for me. Brother Mark told me the other day, he said, 27, brother, 27. We was on the radio program, and I was looking at verse 27 and said, Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. But Brother Mark, read that for us, if you would.
It says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on.
That's how you get your life together, by putting on Christ. There's no life outside of Christ. No life at all. You're dead. We want you to be in Christ. We want you to live. And the only way that you're going to be able to live a life that's pleasing to Him is by being in Him. Then growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As simple as that. Well, that's what we say. We say that it's simple. But yet we have to sit down and we have to talk to people. We have to get to know people. And we have to stress the importance to them. You're not the only one that has been going through what you're going through. You're not the only one that has lied. You're not the only one that has cheated. You're not the only one that has stole. You're not the only one that has committed murder. And this may not be going and putting a gun to anyone's head. It may be, as we talked about a couple of months ago, about committing abortion. Maybe just that simple or that difficult. But God is willing to forgive you if you are willing to be obedient. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, the opportunity is yours to come to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We're encouraging you to come back this morning before it is everlasting too late. If you're here and you're subject, please come as we stand and sing.